the U.S. refinery now processing Venezuelan oil. The Minerva Gloria's 400,000-barrel payload docking at Mississippi in April 2026 marks a geopolitical watershed, but the notion that Venezuelan crude will rescue American consumers from Iran war-driven fuel inflation is, for now, a strategic mirage. Chevron's resumed imports from Caracas represent the largest structural shift in Western Hemisphere energy flows since the 2020 sanctions regime, yet global oil pricing mechanics ensure that Pascagoula's refineries cannot insulate Americans from Hormuz Strait disruptions, no matter how many tankers cross the Gulf. The immediate reality: gasoline prices in Mississippi's oil heartland have climbed nearly $1 per gallon since Iran's blockade began, even as Venezuelan crude flows surged past 1 million barrels per day in March 2026 for the first time since September. This disconnect reveals a fundamental truth about commodity markets that both the White House and retail consumers persistently misunderstand: physical proximity to supply does not equal immunity from global price discovery. Tim Potter, director of Chevron's Pascagoula refinery, laid out the paradox with unusual candor. While we're able to still get crude available here to this refinery because of our relatively local supply, the overall pricing of that crude has gone up because it's based off of world markets. The United States may be sitting atop vast domestic reserves and now importing 250,000 barrels per day of Venezuelan heavy crude, with plans to scale to 350,000 to 400,000 barrels daily, yet these volumes are priced against Brent and WTI benchmarks that reflect global risk premiums. Why this matters beyond the fuel station: the Venezuela reopening represents a multi-billion dollar bet by Chevron and the Trump administration that Latin American crude can displace Middle Eastern dependence over an 18 to 24 month horizon. But the timing: post-Maduro capture in January 2026, amid an active Iran conflict, has created a policy narrative divorced from market mechanics. Institutional capital needs to parse the difference between strategic positioning for 2027 to 2028 and tactical relief in Q2 2026. The former is real, the latter is not. The Venezuela value chain: Chevron's vertical integration plays Chevron's singular position, the only major U.S. oil company with extraction rights in Venezuela, creates a vertically integrated supply chain that should, in theory, compress margins. The company extracts its own Venezuelan crude, processes it at facilities designed specifically for heavy sour oil like Pascagoula's refinery, and distributes to U.S. consumers without intermediary procurement costs. Andy Waltz, Chevron's president of downstream, midstream and chemicals, confirmed the company imports the equivalent of 250,000 barrels of Venezuelan crude oil per day, on average, with capacity to increase volumes by 50% to the 350,000 to 400,000 barrel range. Potter emphasized that the refinery was really designed, and we invested in the refinery, to run heavy oils like from Venezuela. This capital investment dating back years signals Chevron anticipated the sanctions window reopening, a strategic patience play now bearing volumetric fruit. Venezuelan crude trades at a discount to West Texas Intermediate precisely because of its processing complexity. Heavy, thick, high-sulfur oil requires specialized refining capacity to crack into diesel, gasoline, and jet fuel. Nearly 70% of U.S. refining capacity runs most efficiently on heavier crude grades, meaning infrastructure alignment exists across 132 domestic refineries. But alignment on infrastructure does not override pricing on globally fungible commodities. The critical variable: Venezuela's March 2026 exports surpassed 1 million barrels per day for the first time in 7 months, representing a material supply addition to Western Hemisphere flows. For context, the U.S. imported roughly 8% of its oil from the Middle East in 2025, making Hormuz disruptions theoretically less impactful than for European or Asian buyers. Yet crude oil benchmarks reflect global marginal demand, not bilateral trade flows. A supply shock in the Strait of Hormuz reprices all molecules, regardless of their geographic origin. The Iran war premium: why global markets trump local supply. President Trump's primetime declaration: the United States imports almost no oil through the Hormuz Strait, and won't be taking any in the future, we don't need it, reflects a mercantilist understanding of energy security that commodity markets do not respect. The Hormuz blockage removed approximately 20% of global seaborne crude from circulation, spiking Brent futures and cascading through benchmark pricing that sets margins for even domestically refined products. David McQueen, a Vietnam veteran filling his tank at a Chevron station near the Pascagoula refinery, captured the consumer disconnect: the price has got to go down because I'm going down with it. He suspects the government is sitting on it to keep the prices up, adding, "We've got plenty of gas." The perception gap between physical abundance and pricing reality underscores how poorly the administration has communicated the lag between supply additions and consumer relief. Donna, another Mississippi driver, reported curtailing visits to grandchildren hours away due to fuel costs, filling her tank with just $30 worth of gasoline to ration spending. The American Automobile Association's data shows Mississippi pump prices, cheaper than the national average, are still nearly $1 higher per gallon than pre-Iran war levels. This represents a 20-30% cost increase that disproportionately hits fixed-income and lower-wage households, even in energy-producing states. Waltz acknowledged the timing problem explicitly. When things do get back to normal, that additional supply out of Venezuela will actually translate to lower prices for Americans. So it will in the future, but it isn't having an impact now. This is the most honest articulation from an industry executive. Venezuelan volumes are a medium-term structural advantage, not a short-term tactical hedge. Comparative historical context, the 2014 to 2016 supply glut analogy. The current dynamic echoes the 2014 to 2016 oil price collapse, when U.S. shale production surged and Saudi Arabia refused to cut output, flooding global markets. Prices eventually adjusted downward, but with an 18-month lag and only after significant capital destruction in high-cost production basins. The Venezuela reopening represents a supply-side shift of similar magnitude, but without the immediate price relief because a concurrent supply shock, Iran, is overwhelming the signal. Historical precedent suggests that once Hormuz flows normalize or alternative routing through Oman and Red Sea channels stabilize, the incremental 350,000 to 400,000 barrels per day from Venezuela will exert downward pressure on WTI-linked product pricing. The lag time between physical supply and price transmission in refined products markets typically runs 6 to 9 months, assuming no further geopolitical disruptions. That places meaningful consumer relief in Q4 2026 or Q1 2027 at earliest. The refining margin dynamic also matters. Heavy sour crude like Venezuela sells at a $5 to $8 per barrel discount to light sweet crude, but requires more intensive processing. Chevron's vertical integration captures that margin differential, but the company's retail gasoline pricing still reflects competitive benchmarks tied to global crude. Unless Chevron chooses to subsidize pump prices, irrational from a shareholder value perspective, the discount accrues to the refining segment, not the consumer. Capital markets implications: who benefits, who gets squeezed for institutional investors? The Venezuela reopening creates distinct winners and losers across the energy value chain. Winners: integrated majors with heavy crude refining capacity. Chevron's first mover advantage is substantial, but Phillips 66, Valero, and Marathon Petroleum operate Gulf Coast refineries configured for heavy grades. Expect margin expansion in their refining segments as Venezuelan volumes stabilize and Iran premiums fade. Oilfield services in Latin America, Schlumberger, Halliburton, and Baker Hughes will pursue reconstitution contracts in Venezuelan fields after years of deferred maintenance. Venezuela's production capacity degraded from 3.5 million barrels per day in the 1990s to under 800,000 barrels daily by 2020 due to underinvestment. Shipping and logistics, tanker rates for Venezuela to Gulf routes create a new trade lane. Frontline and Euronav benefit from incremental ton-mile demand. Losers, light sweet crude producers, Permian Basin operators producing WTI-grade crude face incremental pricing pressure as heavy crude availability increases. This compresses the light-heavy differential that has favored U.S. shale economics. Midstream MLPs dependent on Permian takeaway. If refinery demand shifts toward imported heavy crude, pipeline utilization from Permian to Gulf Coast could soften, pressuring distribution coverage ratios. Key risk: Venezuela's political stability post-Maduro remains unresolved. The U.S. military's January 2026 capture of Maduro created a power vacuum managed by interim leadership. If domestic unrest disrupts production or if a future Venezuelan government renationalizes foreign oil assets, Chevron's capital and operational investments face expropriation risk, a scenario that has played out twice before in Venezuela's modern history. The Gulf Coast refining complex, infrastructure as competitive moat. Chevron's Pascagoula facility represents approximately 370,000 barrels per day of refining capacity, making it one of the largest single-site refineries in the U.S. Gulf Coast. Potter noted the plant was really designed, and we invested in the refinery, to run heavy oils like from Venezuela, referencing capital expenditures likely in the $1 to $2 billion range over the past decade to configure coking units and hydrotreaters for high-sulfur feedstock. This infrastructure specificity creates a natural oligopoly. Not all refineries can economically process Venezuelan crude, meaning the 132 U.S. refineries are segmented by capability. Facilities with heavy crude processing units capture margin premiums during periods when light-heavy differentials widen. Conversely, simple refineries optimized for light-sweet crude face margin compression. The 70% figure, representing the share of U.S. refining capacity that runs most efficiently on heavier crude, suggests broad infrastructure alignment, but efficiency and capability are not synonyms. A refinery can process heavy crude at reduced yields or higher operating costs, but purpose-built facilities like Pascagoula capture the full economic advantage. Geopolitical dimensions: the post-Monroe Doctrine energy strategy Trump's Venezuela policy represents a return to Western Hemisphere energy dominance as articulated in early 20th century U.S. strategic doctrine. The military operation to capture Maduro in January 2026, unprecedented in its directness, signals a willingness to use force to secure energy resources that prior administrations approached through sanctions and diplomatic isolation. This creates a template. If the U.S. can unilaterally remove a hostile government and install leadership amenable to American energy firms, other resource-rich nations in Latin America, from Bolivia's lithium reserves to Chile's copper, become potential arenas for similar interventions. The Canada-style junior partner model that Canadian Finance Minister François-Philippe Champagne implicitly referenced in separate IMF discussions reflects awareness among U.S. allies that Washington's energy policy has shifted from negotiation to coercion. The IMF meetings in April 2026 focused heavily on both Venezuela and Claude Mythos AI risks, with Champagne noting that the Strait of Hormuz, we know where it is and we know how large it is. The issue that we're facing with Anthropic is that it's the unknown, unknown. This comparison reveals how financial system vulnerabilities, whether physical choke points or cyber exploits, dominate ministerial agendas even as consumer-facing inflation remains politically toxic. The Plaquemines view the Venezuelan oil reopening as being marketed as an inflation solution when it is actually a 2027 to 2028 strategic hedge. The White House and Chevron are both correct that incremental supply will eventually lower U.S. gasoline prices, but eventually means post-Iran conflict normalization, likely Q1 2027 at earliest. The market's failure to price in this lag creates a tactical short opportunity in retail-facing energy equities that have rallied on Venezuela optimism. Here's what institutional capital should focus on. Chevron's 250,000 to 400,000 barrel per day import capacity from Venezuela is substantial, but it represents just 2 to 3% of total U.S. crude consumption of approximately 15 to 16 million barrels per day. Even at full scale, this is a marginal supply addition, not a paradigm shift. The real value is in the vertical integration, Chevron capturing extraction, refining, and distribution margins on a single molecule. The second-order play is in heavy crude-configured refiners beyond Chevron. Phillips 66 operates refineries in Louisiana and Texas with coking capacity designed for similar feedstocks. As Venezuelan volumes scale and the Iran premium fades, these independent refiners will see margin expansion without the upstream capital risk Chevron carries. We favor downstream pure plays over integrated majors in the 12 to 18-month window. Third, the geopolitical precedent matters more than the oil. The U.S. military's January 2026 operation in Caracas demonstrated a willingness to use force to secure energy assets that changes the risk calculus for every resource-holding government in the Western Hemisphere. This is not priced into Latin America sovereign debt. We see compression opportunities in Venezuelan reconstruction bonds and widening risk in Bolivian lithium assets if political rhetoric escalates. The consumer narrative, that pump prices should fall immediately because we have plenty of gas, as David McQueen put it, reflects a misunderstanding that will persist through the U.S. midterm election cycle. Politicians will blame refiners, refiners will cite global benchmarks, and the actual structural relief will arrive months after the political damage is done. The lag between policy and price is where alpha lives. Finally, the integration of Canadian ministerial concerns about Claude Mythos AI vulnerabilities into the same IMF agenda as Venezuelan oil security signals that energy infrastructure cyber risk is now a first-order consideration for finance ministers. Chevron's digitized refining operations, pipeline SCADA systems, and tanker logistics are all potential Mythos attack surfaces. The AI threat is not theoretical, it's a cost of capital issue for energy infrastructure that the market has not yet modeled. The bottom line: Venezuelan crude is flowing to U.S. Gulf Coast refineries at volumes not seen in years, and Chevron's vertical integration creates a structural margin advantage that will compound once global oil markets stabilize. But consumers expecting immediate relief at the pump will be disappointed through at least Q3 2026. The Iran war premium overwhelms the Venezuela supply addition in the near term, and global pricing mechanics ensure that physical proximity to oil does not equal immunity from Brent WTI benchmark volatility. For institutional allocators, the trade is time-segmented, short retail energy equities that rallied on Venezuela hype through Q2 2026, accumulate heavy crude-configured independent refiners for Q4 2026 Q1 2027 margin expansion, and hedge Latin America sovereign exposure against the new U.S. interventionist template. The incremental 350,000 to 400,000 barrels per day from Venezuela will eventually translate to 5 to 8% lower U.S. gasoline prices, but eventually means 2027, not today. The market is pricing the headline, not the lag. That gap is tradable.